You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
If you're thinking about starting an advice column of your own, and a lot of people are, because I hear from them all the time asking for my help and getting their advice columns off the ground, I never respond because I don't want any more competition than I already have. But if you're thinking about starting an advice column of your own, there are two things you need to watch out for, two traps. The first is bias, and you have to acknowledge your bias, and it's not what you think it is. We have a bias in the advice racket toward what I call the solvable problem. You get a lot of mail, a lot of calls all the time, and it's not a problem that can be solved without a time machine, a priest, and a wizard. And you kind of have to set those questions aside without feeling too terribly guilty about them. Sometimes you write those people back personally, but you can't fill your column or your advice podcast with the unsolvable problems. And you get a lot of those. The other trap, the other thing you have to watch out for, is the DTMFA issue. DTMFA stands for dump the motherfucker already. You get so many questions, so many calls from people who, and I'm sure you're familiar with this if you're a longtime listener, will say, my partner is lovely, we are lovely together, everything is lovely. Then comes the but, and after the but comes a horror show. After the but comes abusive behavior. After the but comes unacceptable fucking bullshit. And you have to say to this person, time to dump the motherfucker already. Sometimes people just need that permission. They need to be told they're allowed to dump the motherfucker already. And often you are just seconding what that person heard from their friends and family already. Dump the motherfucker already. The reason it's a trap is you can, without even noticing that you're doing it, fill your column and fill your show with nothing but DTMFA calls. So you have to set a lot of those aside and look for solvable problems and interesting questions that don't just involve break the fuck up. I created the acronym DTMFA so I could handle these questions with some speed and alacrity. Yes, just dump the motherfucker already. You don't even need to spell that whole sentence out. Just DTMFA. Sometimes it's the only thing I write in a column. Somebody sends me a question, it's an obvious DTMFA situation. Rather than unpacking it, rather than paragraphs of advice, rather than analyzing their situation, all I say is DTMFA, and everyone knows what I mean. Which brings me to a letter that I got at Savage Love. Listening to pundits discuss the president on the radio, I was inspired by your brilliant acronym, DTMFA, to yell, impeach the motherfucker already. I would love to see a line of bumper stickers and t-shirts bearing that sensible message, ITMFA. We need a shorthand for the obvious. Think of the boost to productivity if we could all just cut our half-hour conversations about the president into the five simple letters, ITMFA. I appeal to you to bring this acronym into our everyday vocabulary. Signed, dumped my motherfucker already. Here's the interesting thing. The letter writer wasn't referring to Donald Trump, our current awful president, but George W. Bush, our last truly awful president. I thought it was a great idea. I got a website, www.impeachthemotherfuckeralready.com, and I sold buttons and t-shirts and lapel pins and raised in a few short months $20,000 in 2006. I donated half that money to the ACLU, and the rest of it I split between two Senate candidates challenging two awful members of the U.S. Senate. Raised 20 grand in just a few short months by promoting ITMFA. I think we need ITMFA now more than ever at the dawn of the Trump administration. So I am bringing back www.impeachthemotherfuckeralready.com. If that's too much typing for you, you can also go to www.itmfa.com. And there you will find buttons with ITMFA on it. You will find hats in the style of, you know what hats I'm referring to, hats and t-shirts, ITMFA. I want it to become our MAGA, our hashtag MAGA. If you go on Twitter right now and you search for the hashtag ITMFA, you will find that people were already throwing that term around before it occurred to me to bring it back. It's out there. Let's pick it up. Let's use it. There were people, I'm so proud of this. There were people at the giant women's marches this weekend in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., and Chicago carrying ITMFA signs. we will be donating all the money we raise selling ITMFA merch to Planned Parenthood, the American Civil Liberties Union, and the International Refugee Assistance Project. So go to ITMFA.org or impeachthemotherfuckeralready.com to order your buttons. Get ITMFA hats for everyone you know who's been wearing Make America Great Again hats. They might not want them right now, but with so many Trump supporters already getting online, getting on Twitter, and saying that they regret voting for the asshole, you might be able to get those hats onto the heads of your asshole relatives who supported Trump soon, hopefully. Hopefully soon. And what happens if we impeach Trump? Well, then it's President Pence. And that makes a lot of people nervous, myself included. What do we do then? We keep wearing our ITMFA gear until all of these motherfuckers have been impeached and are gone on. So DTMFA, famous Savage Love neologism. ITMFA, briefly in 2006, a famous Savage Love neologism that we are bringing back. The people are bringing it back. People were out at the demos this weekend wearing ITMFA, carrying ITMFA signs without prompting. Let's spread it around. Let's wear the buttons. I am wearing one of my vintage ITMFA buttons right now. You can get a new one. Just go again to impeachthemotherfuckeralready.com or itmfa.org. And before we get to the calls, a big thank you to everyone who marched this weekend all over the world on all seven continents, including Antarctica. Thank you to the organizers. Thank you to the speakers. Thank you to the marchers. I think I speak for everyone when I say that the demonstrations this weekend really put wind in all of our sails. Let's get up. Let's get out there. Let's fight. ITMFA. Today's Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Me Undies. High quality, super comfortable, good looking undies. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Savage. Support for Savage Love comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/savage. The Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Nature Box. Delicious, healthy snacks shipped right to your door. For 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. Single male, straight in the Midwest. I've been dating this girl for about a month, and it's getting pretty serious pretty quick. The challenge is that she admits that she has trust issues with intimacy, and it takes her a long time to come. She does not come vaginally. She says she can only come if, I imagine, if she's being fingered or she's having her clit played with. And she also says that it would take her longer. It does take her a lot of trust issues to have someone go down on her. And she's not ready for that yet. So I'm a little bit conflicted about what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm a little nervous that I won't be able to appease her, to give her what she needs, and to, you know, make her come. And that's what I want to do. So any suggestions that you have would be really appreciated. It does kind of put a lot of pressure because if she admits that she is a tough case, as she calls herself, but a lot of it has to do with trust, as she admits. So part of it for me is that I just think it's a matter of her trusting me more. So, yeah.
How can you be confused about what it is you need to be doing to your girlfriend's junk when I, a faggot, I'm sitting here however many hundreds or thousands of miles away I am from your girlfriend's junk, knowing exactly what to do based on the conversation that she had with you that you related to all of us just now. Play with her fucking clit. Touch her fucking clit. Get a vibrator and vibrate her fucking clit. She does not come vaginally. You know what? No women come vaginally. 75% of women cannot come from vaginal PIV intercourse alone. And there's no such thing as a vaginal orgasm. There are only clitoral orgasms. Some women during PIV, vaginal intercourse, their clitoris is engaged by the tug or the grind and they are able to come, or their clitoral tissues are wrapped in such a way around their vaginal canal that their clitoris is getting fucking stimulated and they come. But no women come from just vaginal or orgasms alone. There's nothing defective about your girlfriend. There's something broken about your girlfriend. She is not a tough case. I haven't had sex with a woman in 3 fucking decades, but I could give your girlfriend an orgasm right now if she was in the stirrups here on the table at which we record the Savage Lovecast. I bet y'all didn't know that we have stirrups here on the table for emergencies. You never know.
look, dude, this isn't hard. This is easy. Even if she's not ready for you to go down on her, and some women are really uncomfortable with oral sex, particularly with new partners and, again, with people they don't trust, totally legit concern on her part, often because women who requested oral from other guys have been twat-shamed about their genitalia and then are hesitant or scared. They don't want to be shamed like that again by some asshole. So they want to make sure you're not some asshole before they press your face into their twat. In the meantime, in the interim, while you build that trust, you can be giving her orgasms by doing exactly what she told you to do. Play with her clit. With your fingers. With your thumb. Grind against it. You can play with her clit with your dick. Don't stick it in her vag. Don't shove it up her vaginal canal. Rub it up and down against her fucking clit. Get a goddamn vibrator. If you are confused about how to make her come, ask her if she masturbates. Hopefully she does. If she doesn't, encourage her to start. If she does and she can get herself off, tell her you want to sit and watch her make herself come so you know exactly then how to do it. Dude, this is an easy one. I am disappointed in you as a listener. I am disappointed in you that you found the info that she gave you confusing. It's not confusing. Knock off the confused boyfriend routine and help your girlfriend knock out a few O's. Jesus fucking Christ, dude.
Hi, Dan. I'm a single gay man on the East Coast in my 20s. I have a question about fuck buddy etiquette. So I have a good friend who I sleep with semi-regularly. He's a little older than me and generally has his life more put together. He has a nice apartment, good job, etc. However, his clothes always smell like they've been left in the dryer for way, way too long, like mildew. And what's worse is his bed sheets have the same problem, but even worse, it's so bad that when I stay over, it's almost impossible for me to get to sleep. The smell is just everywhere. How do I bring this up to him, or do I say anything at all?
What are you risking here if you say something and he's offended? You're risking whatever sex you're having with him. You're not risking the sleepovers that you do not enjoy or the stank of his clothes, which you do not enjoy. You're risking these sleepovers after the sex. You could arrange to have the sex elsewhere if you don't want to nut up, ova up, and have this convo with him. But I think you should be the friend in Friend with Benefits. That part comes first. Sometimes friends say to friends, like, dude, you got to know that when you do X, blank happens. Or you got to know the person you're about to marry is horrible. And it's possible this guy, despite having a job, despite having his life put together in a decent apartment and being set up in New York, it's possible that no one ever explained to him how to fucking do laundry. It's entirely possible that he made it to this stage of life, having, when he went away to college, started doing his own laundry for himself, and no one ever told him that the laundry has to go quickly from the washing machine to the dryer, lest mildew set in and your clothes reek and stink. And he can't smell it because he's soaking in it, but you can smell it. And it's going to cost him other friends with benefits. It might cost him at some point down the road, it might cost him a relationship with someone who might want to commit to him in a more serious way. So you have to ova up. You got to friend up. You got to sit him down and you got to say, look, I don't know if you know this, but your clothes and your sheets smell like they spent too much time in the washing machine. There's this strong mildewy smell that you probably don't pick up on because you're around all the time. Smell is a way of doing that. You block it out. And who knows? Maybe he's going to be offended, but hopefully not. Hopefully he's mature and as put together emotionally as you say he is professionally and apartmentally. And he will say, oh God, no one ever told me that. Oh my God. And he'll be appropriately mortified and do a better job with the laundry. Longtime Lovecast listeners, you know my standard issue advice for Valentine's Day. Fuck first. Don't wait until you have a belly full of meat, wine, and chocolate. But here's another tip. This Valentine's Day, give a gift that they can unwrap again and again. Matching underwear from MeUndies. MeUndies are unbelievably soft and come in limited edition prints. Their underwear is made exclusively out of modal, a fabric with a touch three times softer than cotton. MeUndies has special limited edition Valentine's undies, so if your partner or partners are into matching, well, here is the ideal gift for you. And if for some reason you and your MeUndies aren't a perfect match, they will give you your money back and let you keep that first pair. They offer free shipping, and for a limited time, listeners to the Lovecast get 20% off your first order. But you got to go to MeUndies.com/savage for those savings. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies.com/savage right now for 20% off your first order. Support the show and wear great underwear. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 23-year-old from the Pacific Northwest, and I have a question. I noticed a lump on my boyfriend's testicle, and I, like, don't know if he, like, doesn't notice. It seems, like, super obvious that there's a fucking lump on his testicle. I can see it. I can feel it. It's, like, right there. It's not, like, underneath in some weird hidden place. And I'd like to talk to him about this. The problem is my boyfriend is a very anxious hypochondriac and has a lot of anxiety about, you know, ever potentially being sick or terminally ill and garbage like that. He also doesn't have health insurance. So I think that combination is pretty awful and makes me really nervous to talk to him about it because, yeah. So with all those details being said, what is the best way to go about talking to him about it without freaking him out, without freaking myself out, and not thinking about worst case scenario? And how do I find help for him that he can afford if he does need it?
Donald Trump is president, but Obamacare is still the law of the land. And enrollment for Obamacare for 2017 is open through January 31st, and you need to go ahead and freak out your boyfriend. You need to march him into healthcare.gov and get him to sign up and enroll and get his ass to a doctor. And if he freaks the fuck out because he's a hypochondriac, good. That'll motivate him to get this checked out. Hypochondriacs tend to rush to the doctor over nothing, but this is something. And if it's what you worry that it could be, the sooner he gets to the doctor, the better. So don't worry about panicking your hypochondriac boyfriend. Your boyfriend ought to be panicked, and panic might be the right response, and panic might be the response that saves his nuts and saves his life. Remember, hypochondriacs are all vindicated in the end. Something comes along that kills the hypochondriac, that sickens and kills the hypochondriac. And you don't want to avoid telling a hypochondriac they might have testicular cancer because that might upset them. And in the end, only delay treatment until it's too late, until the cancer spreads. Yeah, go ahead. Panic him. And now is the time to panic him. January 31st, 2017, he can enroll until then in Obamacare and get coverage for this, whatever this might be, if indeed it is something serious. So tell him what you found and have a game plan so that he can get coverage. And right now, through January 31st, even under Donald J. Trump, he can still get coverage. Support for the Savage Lovecast comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it is important to work with someone you can trust and someone who has your best interests in mind. With Rocket Mortgage, you'll get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info to get a mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/savage. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 40-year-old straight woman living in Los Angeles, and I was in a relationship with a married man for about 2.5 years. He was not in an open relationship, but I don't believe in monogamy, and they don't have any kids, so I never felt guilty about the relationship. It was the most beautiful, wonderful, fulfilling relationship I've ever had. I've never felt more loved and cared for by anyone. I love him so much, and he loves me, but then one day he just decided it was over. He dumped me because he and his wife had some plans to move out of the country. I was super angry. He dumped me the day before I was going on this big spiritual retreat and vacation, and he thought I could work through my feelings of loss then, but I didn't. He sort of ruined the trip for me, and I'm still just as angry as the night he dumped me. I want to tell his wife, I'm not ashamed of what I did and I have nothing to lose. He's living a lie pretending he's in a monogamous relationship when he's a total sex maniac. And he should be with me because he wouldn't have to lie to me and we'd be totally awesome together. I'm not some wilting flower that a man could just throw away like a piece of trash. I have power and I want to use it. So, what are your thoughts?
What do I think? Honestly, what I was sitting here thinking as I listened to your call was that some enterprising young tech genius in Los Angeles should create an app that's just your voice, and so that anybody, any straight guy in Los Angeles who's on a first date with a 40-year-old straight woman can run the app, and it's a voice recognition program, and if it beeps red and it's you, they can beat a hasty spiritual retreat. Look, you're not a little flower who can be disposed of. You are kind of a cliche. I hate to invoke the whole bunny boiler thing, Fatal Attraction, the Michael Douglas, Glenn Close movie from, I think, the early 90s that made the true victim of the affair that the straight married man with kids was having be the straight married man because he was so persecuted by the woman that he dumped. She will not be ignored. That's almost, I will not be ignored, Glenn Close said. Almost like you saying, I am not a little pink flower that can be discarded. You were fucking a married man. You knew he had a wife. You knew what you were signing up for. You were doing something in a way that was kind of shitty to the wife and shitty with the husband. And he was married to her, and it doesn't sound like he ever gave you any indication that he was going to leave his wife for you. So your relationship with him, with your lover, with this other woman's husband, was always a contingency. And they moved away, and he cut you loose. You weren't going to move away with them, theoretically. And I get that it hurts to be dumped. It sucks to be dumped. It hurts to have a relationship that you enjoy, that you think is beautiful and loving, end. But allowing your feelings for this man to curdle so quickly into anger and to plot your revenge in this way, to now, from this position, having been let go, having been dumped, to want to reach out and destroy his marriage, which you were content to tolerate and put up with the entire 2.5 years you were together, just makes you look like someone he should never have stuck his dick in the first place and like someone he's well rid of. So if you want to retroactively confirm for him his decision to end things with you, yeah, you should call his wife. The odds that if indeed their marriage falls apart based on this revelation, because you out him as having had an affair, I don't know, probably 50%. The odds that he will then want to run away with you and be with you after what you did to him are 0%. You are not going to win this man by telegraphing to him, by communicating to him that you will stomp him if you don't get what you want, when you want it from him for always. So I don't know what you're telling yourself in your head about what the end game is going to be here after you destroy his marriage. As faulty and flawed as it may be, and every marriage is faulty and flawed in its own unique way, and his sounds faulty and flawed in a completely common and cliche way. His pivot from that destruction, his pivot from being the victim of your revenge, is not going to be a flash mob proposal to you. You can't at once be the avenging angel and the partner in the infidelity itself. Those are kind of mutually exclusive roles. And when people who were partners in the infidelity, co-conspirators, complicit in all the adultery that the wife suffered from, then want to strap on wings and be the avenging angel punishing the adulterer, when actually there are adulterers, plural, it's not a good look. Not an attractive look. Not a look that says, I'm sane, and it's not a look that says that spiritual retreat I went on had any effect whatsoever. So, do what you gotta do, lady. But I would think about it, perhaps, on another spiritual retreat. I think you should go on a couple more spiritual retreats before you do something so cruel and vindictive and small and petty and revealing, I think, of your own entitlement, but also complicity. Like, your anger with him is so overblown. It's so grossly inflated that I think it's projecting some of the anger that you have for yourself. That you were fucking this married man for 2.5 years. Maybe and you say you don't believe in monogamy, and you say the sex was great, and it was a beautiful, loving relationship, and maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you feel like you were played for a fool, not only by him, also by you. Some of this anger that you're throwing out and directing toward him rightly belongs on you. You should be mad at yourself for making yourself so vulnerable to this person and being a party to this ongoing infidelity if you couldn't hack it. And it sounds like you couldn't. Sorry you're angry. But let's have a little spiritual retreat exercise right now. Breathe in blue, breathe out red, or breathe in red and breathe out blue. I can never remember which it is, but whichever one it is, breathe it in, breathe it out. And don't do it. Don't do it. You have to hold up your end of the bargain. His end of the bargain was not, I'm going to leave my wife for you, and his end of the bargain was not, I'm going to be with you forever. Not necessarily. No one's end of the bargain in any relationship or any marriage is I'm going to necessarily be with you forever. Forever is a hope. If the relationship is good and decent and loving, we want to stay in it. But it is never a surety. It is never a guarantee.
What do you do when you want a snack, but all you can find is junk food? Rely on your self-control to resist the temptation? Please, you eat the junk food. So, avoid junk food and start snacking healthy by subscribing to NatureBox. Here at the Lovecast, when we learned that NatureBox was going to start advertising again, a collective holler went up among the tech-savvy at-risk youth because they love the snacks NatureBox sends to us. NatureBox makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you, created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. My personal favorites are the creme brulee peanuts and the aged cheddar lentil loops. I know, it sounds crazy. Freaking delicious. NatureBox recently made their service even better. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel at any time. It's simple. Just go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks you want, and they'll deliver them right to your door. With NatureBox, you will never get bored. There are new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback. And if you ever try a snack you do not like, NatureBox will replace it for free. And right now, NatureBox is offering you guys 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/savage. That's naturebox.com/savage for a whopping 50% off your first order. Again, naturebox.com/savage.
Hey, Dan and Savvy at Risk Youth. I spent my New Year's Eve on a first date. My long-term partner and I decided to have a threesome. Within hours on Tinder, found a cool unicorn who wanted to just meet and hang out with us, which we did, and it was awesome. So I'm feeling really excited about this. My question is, if we do have a threesome, I'm a first-time threesome-er. Obviously, my boyfriend will wear a condom. Is it safe for us to, like, take turns on his dick? Like, I don't know if any body fluids are getting exchanged that way. What's the best course to take protection-wise?
Little experiment. Get out the mayo, get out the mustard. Dip your finger in the mayo and then dip your finger in the mustard. Is there mustard in the mayo now and mayo in the mustard? Yes, there is. Same rule applies here. If your boyfriend dips his dick, wearing a condom, in this other woman and then dips his dick in you, whatever mayo she has going on there could be transferred to your mustard. If she has syphilis, if she has chlamydia, if she has gonorrhea, if she has HIV, you could be exposed more easily to gonorrhea or chlamydia than HIV or syphilis, but still, you could be exposed. So your boyfriend has to change condoms as he goes from girl to girl and hole to hole, or you two need to get your hands on what are called female condoms, which are, I call them affectionately, ass can liners, like trash can liners, because I have used them for anal, so ass can, trash can liners. They're a little like trash can liners for the hole that you're going to fuck. It's a condom that you put in place and leave there. So you can, if you are entertaining multiple bottoms or multiple ladies, you can put female condoms in the holes you're going to fuck, and then the dick can go unencumbered and undelayed from hole to hole to hole and back and forth without having to, with slippery wet fingers and a slippery wet dick, change condoms each time you want to go back and forth. So that is an option, the female condom. They have them at Planned Parenthood. There's a great info page about them at plantparenthood.org, and they are a good option for you. I want to go off on my tips for first-time three-wayers rant, but I've done it so often, and hopefully you've listened to me on past shows. Give those tips. Quickly, just two to review. I won't go through all of them. Your third is a human being with feelings and needs of their own and must be taken into consideration. And you two, as the couple, it is on you to be solicitous of that person and their desires and their comfort, not just your comfort as the couple. Also something to bear in mind when you have that first three-way, one of the major stumbling blocks for people is, oh my God, there was this moment where it was just the two of them and I felt like I wasn't even in the room. Two ways have a way of breaking out in the middle of three ways. If you don't have a panic attack or a meltdown, it can turn back into a three way. But there will be moments when one person is on the outside of the action briefly. If that person has a heart attack and blows the fuck up, the three way's over. If that person, on the other hand, just takes it in, gazes, appreciates, it'll roll back into a three-way. If it doesn't of its own accord start to roll back into a three-way, that third person who's on the outs at that moment should clear their throat and say, I'd like back into this, with a smile, not a frown, and not a freak out. Good luck.
Hi, I'm a 25-year-old female, and I have a question. My boyfriend's family, we love to eat. I love to eat. And I don't mind eating and going over their house and eating dinner, and I think my boyfriend's grandma cooks really well, and I love her cooking. But yesterday, I went to his uncle's house. He lives a lot further from us, and it was the first time I met him. And he had made Hamburger Helper, two boxes of it. I'm not a big fan of Hamburger Helper, but I had already ate before. And at first, I modestly said, no, you know, I don't want any. And I was like, you know what, why not, you know? And I felt like I didn't want to be too rude. So I said, all right, I'll have a little. And the mom gave me a decent amount, and I didn't end up finishing it. I ate a good portion of it from the bowl. And my boyfriend said something under his breath and took the food as if it's rude to not finish it. Now, I don't know what's the modest way to handle that situation. I didn't want to be rude or feel like I can't finish anything, but I wanted to at least seem like, you know, I was being respectful. But I just felt like the mom had made a comment, his mom had made a comment like, well, you know, when you come to, if you ask for food, you know, just believe to finish it. And I felt a little bit taken back, kind of. I just don't know what to do in the future. How should I move forward when it comes to food like this? If I'm not ready to eat it, should I just say, no, listen, I'm not hungry, I don't want any? Or even if I take a bowl and I'm hungry, but I don't want to finish it, what should I do moving forward? How can I be respectful towards the family?
As a card-carrying member of the coastal elite, I am not going to sneer at Hamburger Helper, lest I further alienate the white working class voter. Look, lady, there's nothing that ketchup can't fix. Bury Hamburger Helper under enough ketchup, and I grew up eating Hamburger Helper in the 70s with my family. Whip inflation now, there wasn't enough food in the house. We ate a lot of fucking Hamburger Helper. Ketchup is the cure. That said, I'm a little concerned about what an asshole your boyfriend was in that circumstance, that his mom and his uncle or whoever else was there might have been keeping track of exactly how much Hamburger Helper you ate is one thing and a weird thing, that your boyfriend then piled on and shamed you for not cleaning your plate like you're some fucking toddler is disturbing. I would be concerned if I were you. I would have a little convo with my boyfriend about where he went with me that day. In the future, in a similar circumstance where you are with family, and sometimes being with family means choking down some chow you might not choose to eat of your own accord, nothing you would order in a restaurant or seek out in the grocery store, little white lies are your friend. Ground beef doesn't agree with me. Sometimes I get sick to the stomach. I love it, and so I'd like to have a little bit, but I'm not able to have much. Oh, this is delicious. You lie. or I'm on a diet, so just a little bit for me, or I just ate, but could you wrap some of that up for me? I'd love to have it later tonight back at the hotel or back at home or wherever, and then it goes straight into the compost bin. An important aspect of being able to trot out one of these white lies is the active support of your boyfriend in a circumstance like that. So he needs to be on your side. If you're going to be at mom's house or uncle's house and you don't want to offend anybody, and they made a huge plate of greasy garbage that you don't want to eat any of, and you're going to be polite and eat a little bit of, he needs to help you run interference there, not pile on and call you out and shame you for not scarfing down the whole fucking pan of Hamburger Helper. We're going to take a quick break from the calls to get this month's sex toy recommendation from Erica Moen, the genius cartoonist behind Oh Joy Sex Toy, a weekly comic about sex toys and sex ed. You can find Oh Joy Sex Toy at www.ohjoysextoy.com. Hey, Erica, thanks for jumping on the phone.
Hi.
So what is January's sex toy recommendation?
Okay, so last month I went super high-end with something that cost like $500, and this time I'm going super low-end but still super good, and I'm recommending the Babeland Silver Bullet Vibrator, which Babeland sells for $15, but basically every single sex toy creator company has a Silver Bullet vibe, and they can range from like $10 up to $30, but they're super, super basic. They're really affordable, and I totally recommend them for somebody who doesn't know where to start with sex toys because they're really cheap. So what you have is this silver egg thing, and it's got a cord that connects to a little controller box. So you've got your masturbating hand, and that holds the egg thing, and then you've got your controller hand, and that holds the control. And it's for external vulva use, although some people like to put it on the heads of their penises as well. So whatever your genital situation is, it's you put it on the outside.
It's not a toy you stuff up your butt or stuff up your vaginal canal.
Please don't, unless you want to go to the ER.
Why is that?
Well, because if you're going to put something in your butt, it needs to have a flared base. Otherwise, it goes, like, because your butt, it don't quit. And so things will just keep going on up in there. And then the only person who can get it out again is a doctor. And your vagina, like, well, I guess you could put it in your vag, but it's not, I don't think it's going to feel that great, honestly.
So silver bullets are for external use only, for clitoral or labia or the heads of penises or nipples.
Sure. Yeah, I hear some people like that.
I've seen a couple of tit clamps sets that incorporated silver bullets into the clamps.
Okay. Well, I had not heard of that, so I'm learning something new, too.
I've only seen them. I have never gotten to experience them. I imagine they are.
Not yet.
Vibey.
But yeah, so, and also the Silver Bullet has personal sentimental value for me because it is the toy that gave me my very first orgasm ever. So I'm very fond of it. Yeah. And, yeah, thanks to Babeland in Seattle.
I have the same feeling about a certain brand of emerald green shampoo that they don't make anymore.
Huh.
That was instrumental in my first orgasm in my parents' house.
Huh.
Many years ago.
Memories.
How old were you when you had your first orgasm?
I was a teenager, and I don't want to say specifically because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I was a teenager, and I got it from a store.
So a silver bullet for someone who's intimidated by a Hitachi magic wand, which is the magic jackhammer of vibrators. Is it a good first toy? And is it an effective first toy? It gave you your first orgasm. Have you heard from other women who found it to be as effective as you did?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard from other folks who do love them and like them. And the silver bullet is definitely a wonderful baby's first introduction to sex toys. Because, like, it gives you a good sense for how strong you like something. Because if you try it out and you're like, well, this is a nice little tickle, but it's not strong enough, then you know I need to invest in something that's heavier duty. And if you try it out and it just totally takes you right there, then you're like, this is as strong as I need. And like the fact that the cost of it is so affordable makes it a good experimental toy to just figure out what you like. And yeah. And at this point, like I still do like a good silver bulleting, but I do prefer much stronger vibrations now. Like it's not Hitachi anymore. Now it's Vibratex, but the magic wand. And then the stick wand, also by FiberTech. It's like, I like those bigger, stronger ones, but the Bullet 5 is still, it's still solid. It's still good. And it was enough for me when I very first started before I blew out all the nerves in my clit.
It would also be a great stocking stuffer. So it's too late for the Christmas we just had and the holidays we just had. But if you're the kind of person who does your Christmas and holiday shopping really early, it's January. You can stock up on silver bullets and delight all your friends by stuffing them not in their butts, but in their stockings come December.
Or February, because it's Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day is Christmas of the sex toy industry.
Great point. Thank you, Erica Moen. You should be reading her comic, Oh Joy Sex Toy. You can find it at ohjoysextoy.com, and she comes on the Lovecast every month now to give us a sex toy rec. Thanks for coming on, Erica. Talk to you next month.
All right, my pleasure.
Hi, Dan. After the election, I was completely devastated and reflected on not only the way that the world was headed, but my own life, and realized that I have been replicating these terrible negative patterns. I married someone who is emotionally abusive, verbally abusive at times, and I came from a verbally abusive household. So I just decided, you know what? I don't want to keep these cycles going. And I told my husband that I wanted to separate, that I want to move out. He, for some reason, doesn't understand why I would want to do that, even though he's known to cheat on me multiple times, more times than I probably know, and knew before I was married. He just recently divulged the actual number of how many times he's cheated on me. But not only him, you know, his family has opinions on it and is just thinking that maybe I'm being too brash, that I don't really know what I'm saying, that this is just too drastic of a decision. And, you know, we also happen to have a son, and what does it mean for him? And so many different opinions coming from all over the place. And even in my own family, who worry about more of my financial security than my happiness. And even though I know I am justified, I'm having a hard time navigating through all of these different opinions. My chosen family, my friends know where I'm coming from. They see who he is and who I am, and they know why I would want to jump ship. But yeah, these people who are still going to be in my life forever, my family and his family, given that we have a son and him, aren't getting it. And it's causing a lot of strife for me, because I know why I'm doing this, but I just want them to understand, which I understand is, you know, a little bit too much to ask for. But I just wanted to hear what you thought as far as what I should do to navigate all of these different opinions and different feelings that everyone has about my own life.
Your family and his family, they're all giving you grief now because they're trying to talk you out of it. Once they realize that you cannot be talked out of it, that you've made up your mind and your decision is final, they'll knock it the fuck off. But right now they're running interference. Right now they're trying to, quote unquote, bring you to your senses. And if they ask you what it means for your son, you should just tell them that it means your son isn't going to grow up with a male role model in the home who's verbally abusive and a serial philanderer. That's what it's going to mean for your son. Still going to have a relationship with his dad, still going to know his dad and his dad's family, but probably better for your son in the long run not to have that kind of relationship with a woman modeled for him, whether or not he ends up with a woman as an adult. Could be queer when he grows up. That's what you say, and you just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And if your family can't respect your decision, if his family can't respect your decision, spend less time with your family for the moment and his family for the moment. Spend more time with your friends who understand and support the decision that you've made, as I do.
Hi, Dan. I'm a single mom raising two kids in New York City. My little boy, who is 9 years old, loves to dress in woman's clothes, mermaid tails, and he loves to put on wigs. He loves to give us performances, and I'm very accepting and as excited for him, telling him that he has a great taste and is really very talented. He's invited to go on an audition this Saturday at the Met because the director detected some type of talent in him. This is my question. My son, who is again only 9 years old, absolutely loves to dance as if he's a stripper. He dances sensually and puts on quite a show for us and loves, absolutely loves to tell me that one day he wants to be a stripper. When I ask him, what does that mean for you? What does it mean to be a stripper? He says that it means he will be dancing sexy for a bunch of people, and in return, they will throw money at him. Then I draw a line there, and I gently tell him to gather himself and to not have this kind of ambitions. I tell him that his body is too precious, too important to use it, to sell it for money. In other words, Dan, this type of behavior I try to discourage and put in his mind that this is not acceptable. What is your opinion? Am I too rigid? A friend of mine told me jokingly that I should instill in him to demand a very good compensation if he becomes a good stripper, not to discourage that. Any advice would really help, Dan. Thank you.
Stripping is a form of sex work, and I can't imagine a conversation that would make me, sex positive, pro sex work me, more uncomfortable than gaming out for my 9-year-old kid their future in the sex work field. So I feel your pain. That said, Mom, I think passive resistance here is your best friend. I think you let your son talk and you listen without clamping down, without shaming him. When I was a couple years younger than your son is now, I wanted to live on a farm and marry my sister. We didn't understand, my sister and I, when we had those conversations, what marriage meant exactly, clearly. Obviously, we didn't understand what marriage meant at all. And I am now an adult who does not live on a farm and is not married incestuously to my sister. So clearly your son has soaked up a little bit of the stripper stuff that's permeated pop culture. And I'm not going to name names lest fans yell at me. But sort of stripper aesthetic, male and female, has kind of permeated a little bit of pop culture. And your son has picked up on that. And who knows, maybe he's going to be the big breakout boylesque star of the future who becomes to boylesque what Gypsy Rose Lee was to girlesque. Maybe that's his future. Maybe he's going to be a sexy dancer on Broadway and he will get his stripper on every year at Broadway Bears and get that out of his system. So don't tell him his body is too precious for this or his body is too precious for that. You can tell him that not a lot of people make enough money stripping to support themselves or support a family. And it's not necessarily a career that will carry you for 30 or 40 years unless you are Gypsy Rose Lee. And only Gypsy Rose Lee basically got to be Gypsy Rose Lee. So you love him and you love his dreams. And this is a lovely dream to have, but he also needs to have a fallback plan that's not entirely about his ass or people throwing money at him. And if you want to gently nudge him in another direction, it sounds like you live in New York. If he was being spotted by the Met and invited to an audition, take him to some big Broadway shows. Let him see what dancers do up there. Let him see what he could aspire to do up there. People are throwing money in the form of weekly paychecks at dancers on Broadway. And it's a sexy job. It's a sexy fucking job. And I've met people who are dancers on Broadway who every once in a while would get on a pole and a strip club somewhere just for fun. So he can have a career in dance and performance, and he can have this too if he wants it in the future. But you need to take a chill pill, Mom, and relax. Because what kids say they want at 9, and often who kids say they are at 9, is not who kids wind up being at 14. So, chill.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to the type 1 diabetic who was concerned that insulin was making his semen taste bad. I can assure you, as a type 1 diabetic myself, as someone who's dating a type 1 diabetic, who was given birth to by a type 1 diabetic, your insulin is not the problem. Insulin is a hormone that everyone's body naturally makes. And yes, the insulin you're taking is synthetic and lab made, but the taste of your cum really is going to be depending on your diet, not on your insulin.
Hello, Dan. I'm calling about episode 534, where you spoke to a lady who was talking about a man who had zero libido over the winter months, and you mentioned the seasonal affective disorder. I was quite surprised that you didn't suggest that this man get treatment for it, There are effective treatments such as light therapy and also the atypical antidepressant bupropion, which can both help with this disorder and improve libido.
Hey, Dan, longtime listener, first-time caller, and I just wanted to share an idea with those of you who are in the same boat as me. If you have Christian conservative relatives who supported the unmentionable sun-kissed nightmare, and if you have kids, this is a great thing to do. I've been talking to my more ardent relatives who like him, asking them, how do I explain golden showers to my seven-year-old? And also, my seven-year-old is asking what grab him by the pussy means. And I'm just wondering the most Christian moral way of conveying this information. He hasn't really asked those questions, but I'm sure having fun with my relatives on this one.
Before we leave it there, we want to mention that it looks like we got punked. Mother slit in German is not a German expression for women's genitalia. But you know what? Maybe it should be, so we don't feel that bad about floating it. All right, that's where we're going to leave it. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you want to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz, 206-302-2064. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Erica Moen on Twitter at Erica, that's Erica with a K, Moen, M-O-E. And you can also follow Ojoy Sextoy on Twitter at Ojoy Sextoy. Be sure to read Savage Love, my syndicated weekly sex advice column in the Washington City paper and other papers all across the country. Also, I'm going to be speaking at the Wilbur Theater in Boston tomorrow, Wednesday, January 25th. Please come out and see me. Rachel Lark will be joining me to sing her hilarious songs. We're going to have a great time at the Wilbur Theater in Boston. Please join us. And be sure to check me out on Blabbermouth, the Strangers Weekly Politics podcast. Find on iTunes and anywhere else to get your podcasts. Savage Lovecast and Blabbermouth, both produced by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech savvy at risk, you and Nancy. We will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.